Welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Thursday, March 19th, and I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker. I hope you listened to the show yesterday with Chris Castellani, is the host of the Locked On Detroit Tigers podcast. We did a crossover episode, more so him asking me questions. I think we'll have one coming up where I ask him a couple more questions about the Tigers. I definitely have some about the Tigers and that farm system. We talked about Joe Mauer, the Twins' expectations for 2020, hopefully 2020. Josh Donaldson, of course, Jose Berríos, the ALDS last year, and much, much more. Check that out if you haven't already. You can find the episode on my Twitter at NashWalker9 or at Locked On Twins, as well as on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Today we're going to continue our series of the best Twins seasons ever. First, we discuss the highly underrated 1969 club, highlighted by AL MVP Harmon Killebrew. And on Tuesday, we talked about a familiar team, the 2019 Bomba Squad. Today, one of the three World Series squads as we get into the top three. This team went 102-60 and lost in Game 7 to the Dodgers in the World Series. So we're going to get into that. But first, I want to talk about or give a little coronavirus update, I guess. Not as much an update as more so. Discussing, kind of breaking down what's being discussed between the MLBPA and MLB. So they said it's going to be 8 weeks because of the CDC recommendations that there shouldn't be crowds of 50 or more for 8 weeks. And my initial reaction is I try to find some positivity in that. I tried to think of, you know, maybe in 4 weeks they can get back to spring training and play a couple games or just have workouts without any crowds. And then at the end of the 8 weeks, if they want to start the season then, that's like May 10th. Otherwise, if they wanted to start even earlier, if things were to improve around the country, which it doesn't look great so far, a lot more testing happening, so numbers are going up, which is a good thing, actually, that there's more testing going out and people are able to get those tests. But I think it's an optimistic view to think that they'll be back in mid-May for sure. I can't remember if I was saying March or mid-May. They're not going to play in March. They were going to play a week from today, actually, in Oakland, and I was planning to go to Oakland, but definitely smaller issue in the grand scheme of things. But things that are being discussed that Dave St. Peter said on Score North and has kind of reiterated is that there could be Saturday doubleheaders, I think he said, or frequent doubleheaders, which is very interesting. We'd get a lot of baseball if there were multiple doubleheaders a week. That puts a lot of pressure on teams, puts a lot of pressure specifically on high-stress positions, pitchers and catchers, and just the Twins who like to rest their guys. It would be interesting, and maybe we'll get into more about how doubleheaders impact the Twins. I think that's more of a positive for the Twins doubleheaders because they have so much depth. They can trot out above-league average hitters and pitchers in that second game and get some guys rest after their first game, their starting squad. Also, neutral site postseason and World Series, which is really interesting. I'm not crazy about that. But they were saying, you know, maybe they'll play into October, into the regular season, which I'm open to. And then they would start the postseason perhaps. For example, if the Twins were in the ALDS, they'd play ALDS games here. And then maybe in the ALCS, instead of going to Yankee Stadium, for example, they would play in Miami because New York would be too cold in early November. So they'd play in Miami or California or a neutral site. And I think they were thinking Miami because the Florida Marlins, the Miami Marlins are not as great, and they probably won't be in the World Series. So they were thinking Miami, and, you know, I am decently open to that because I'm open to anything that's going to get us the most games possible. And I think MLB and MLBPA are on the same page with that. They want to play as many games as possible. Of course they do, revenue reasons and just getting the season in. So, you know, I'm open to neutral site World Series in November, December, whenever it may be. The problem there is, of course, the season starts again in March, and that would be like no rest for postseason guys. That's a pretty quick turnaround. Maybe they would have to delay next season into a couple weeks into April and maybe just adjust the whole schedule so they go deeper in the year. It'll be interesting to see what they do, but number one is just getting this virus under control, and then at that point they can start to talk about when opening day will be. I think that's the first question they have to answer, because if opening day is in mid-May, they won't have to do as much to make up games, right? I mean, they can have some doubleheaders, they can wipe out the All-Star week and just play games through that week, and then maybe extend into October a couple weeks because they'd only missed you know, 6 weeks essentially if they started in mid-May. I don't think they're going to start in mid-May. I'm not saying that. That would be great. But if they started on like June 1st, I think they're going to have to get a little bit creative. June 1st or later, they're going to have to get creative with things that they do, whether that be playing in November or December for a neutral site World Series. But I think the number one thing is, when are they going to start? When's a realistic time for them to start the 2020 season? Can they start the 2020 season at all? So South Korea was actually playing baseball the other day. They sent pictures in, and they, for the first time ever, I think they had zero new cases in South Korea. So that's great news. They are flattening their curve. We got to do our part to flatten our curve. I'm in the same pajamas I wore yesterday. A little gross. Going to have to change today. But I've been sitting on the couch, you know, reading up on past Twins teams, doing some homework, and you all should do the same, definitely about the Twins. So let's talk about this 1965 Minnesota Twins club. I have them ranked as the third best Twins team in history. And I guess more so take my analysis on these teams more seriously than the rankings, because I didn't live through these teams. You know, I did research on these teams, of course, and that's why you should listen to the analysis part, but I really did heavily weigh the World Series clubs. So the top three teams are teams that made the World Series. And I've said it the last few days, but the 1987 club didn't even have a top 10 record in Twins history, but ended up winning the World Series, got hot in October. That's what you do. So we're going to talk about them tomorrow. And then the 91 club on Monday with hopefully more updates from Manfred and Rosenthal and, you know, the reporters and the commissioner of baseball on the coronavirus. But let's look at this 1965 club, because it was one of the more heartbreaking things, I think, in Twins history. It gets overlooked as a more heartbreaking event in Twins history. Game 7 against the Dodgers in the World Series. Do you hate stepping on the scale? Maybe it's because you haven't met the right one. A company called Withings produced the first body smart scale, and they're still the best. In fact, Tom's Guide rated Withings Body Plus is the best overall smart scale in 2020. If you're looking to lose weight, willpower is key, but so is having the right tools. Withings smart scales are known for durability and an exceptional user-friendly design. Step on and get data from every weigh-in, syncing automatically to the free app for iOS and Android via Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. Lots of smart scales don't have the Wi-Fi option, and it means you need to have your phone on you, but Withings Body Plus gives weight, full body composition, weight trend, even a local weather report. The scale can support up to 8 users and even knows who is who. So here's the deal. You can get 25% off a Withings Body Plus scale right now at withings.com for a very limited time. Go to withings.com, that's withings.com/MLB to get 25% off a body plus body composition scale. That's withings.com/MLB to get 25% off a body plus body composition scale. So, 1965, this team went 102-60. The Twins started in 1961 or moved over from Washington, became the Twins in 61. And the 65 team set the all-time record, and it still holds for the most wins in team history. Just the fifth season. The Twins set that record. The 2019 Twins, who I talked about yesterday or Tuesday, had pushed them, and it looked like maybe they were going to get to 102 and tie 102 or get to 103. The Twins lost on the last day in Kansas City. I remember Bruce Dar-Gratterall blew a save against the Royals, and it was nice because I can't think. Ned Yost got his last win as the Royals manager. So, you know, they can have that rather than tying the all-time team win record. But the Twins lost in Game 7 to the Dodgers in the World Series. So who was the best pitcher on that team there? Again, it's kind of been a theme so far as I've looked, is that these teams are deep with pitching depth. Jim Cott, Mudcat Grant, Jim Perry all had ERAs, you know, well below 4. Mudcat Grant at 330. He was actually the 7th lowest ERA at 330. Al Worthington was their closer, 213 ERA. Johnny Klipstein, 224 ERA as a reliever. And then Perry, who was so good in this time, 263. Jim Cott, 283. And as I said, Mudcat Grant, 330, 7th best. Dave Boswell, 340, pitched in 27 games, 106 innings pitched. So really deep pitching staff. It's kind of hard to say. I would probably lean towards Mudcat Grant because he pitched the most innings for them and also started a very strong game in the World Series as well. He pitched 270 innings, but I think it could be a toss-up between Grant, Cott, and Perry. The leader in WAR on the pitching side was you have to go down the list a bit, actually, to find the WAR leader is Jim Perry at 2.8 WAR. And the hitting leader was, this is very interesting, Zoilo Versales, who was the MVP this year, was not their best hitter, but was outstanding defensively because his WAR was in an exceptional 7.2. But in his career, his WAR is 12.6. So almost, you know, more than half of his WAR came in one season in 1965. He was unbelievable. You know, great power, hit a home run in Game 6 of the World Series, was just outstanding. And Zoilo Versales, while not the best hitter on this club, I would not rank him the best hitter on this club, was outstanding and won the MVP award with the most WAR on this team. And his defense at short was outstanding, as I said. And he hit .273, .319 on base, .462 slugging, OPS plus .115. This Twins team also had a lot of hitters above league average. Seven players had an OPS plus of 100 or more. And the late, the great killer, Harmon Killebrew, 145 OPS plus. Another great year. You know, played in less games than he had before. Only played in 113 games, but was great in the playoffs again. And Harmon Killebrew in this time was just unbelievable. We talked about him on that 1969 team when he won the AL MVP award. But these Twins teams had a lot of MVPs, a lot of rookies of the year. Tony Oliva was phenomenal in 1965 as well, career 43 WAR. His OPS plus in 65 was 141. His best year, like his best full year, was 1971 with a 154 OPS plus. He hit .337, but 65 ranks fourth for OPS plus. So he was unbelievable. Won the batting title three times, won it in 1965. This is before Rod Carew in 65. But when you had those three together, Oliva, Carew, and Killebrew, that was fun. But this team made it to the World Series without the great Rod Carew. So they lose Game 7 to Sandy Koufax, who didn't pitch in Game 1 because of Jewish holiday. But he comes back and was outstanding in Game 7. Complete game shutout with 10 Ks. Koufax was the only pitcher ever to throw a complete game shutout in Game 7 of the World Series with double-digit strikeouts. It was that Game 7 in 1965 when the Dodgers beat the Twins. Twins get up 2-0 in the series, lose three in a row, win Game 6, and then a Mudcat Grant start. Come back in Game 7 and lose 2-0 to Koufax. And those two runs were scored in the fourth inning on three consecutive pitches. I should say, they went to the bullpen very quickly in that game because Jim Cott had been used. I mean, these pitchers were used like every other day. Just absolutely nuts, the usage on these guys. But Sam Melea was the manager that year. It was his best year as a manager. Fourth, I think, as the Twins manager. And they won 102 games under his watch. So Koufax pitches a gem in 24 innings in the postseason. Sandy Koufax gave up one run with 29 strikeouts, five walks, and of course was the World Series MVP. So this 1965 club, the only Twins team to go to the World Series and lose. And the other two that I'm going to talk about are two World Series winners in 87 and 91. But this was a fun team because this kind of set forth the foundation of what you were going to see from Killebrew and Oliva. And then Carew comes into the picture, and it's just this unbelievable core with great pitching as well. And Jim Perry and Jim Cott, and then Bert Blyleven comes through eventually. I mean, this was a great era for the Twins at the beginning of their basically franchise in Minnesota, and 65 was an exceptional club that was one win away, basically three pitches away, three consecutive pitches away from potentially winning the World Series. Just ran into one of the best pitchers ever in Sandy Koufax. So that's the 65 club. Really fun team. Mudcat Grant, Oliva, Zoilo Versales was the MVP. Really interesting. Zoilo, I looked at this and I couldn't believe what I saw. I mentioned the WAR numbers, but if you look at Zoilo Versales' career, 115 OPS plus in 65. 64, he was 104. So those are the only 2 years in his 12-year career where he was an above-average hitter. Every other year, 94, 84, 83, 74, 69. Those are his OPS pluses. Just not a very good hitter. But wins the MVP award in 65 and was a big reason why the Twins made it to the World Series and had the year that they did. Hopefully the 2020 club, they won't be pushing 102 victories, but maybe they'll push that winning percentage record for the Twins, and hopefully they get underway quickly. Hope you and your family are doing well. Sending my best wishes from the Lockdown Minnesota Twins podcast. And from me, thank you for listening. Thank you so much. Thanks for sticking with me. I know these are trying times. These are difficult times for all of us. And I appreciate you listening and taking some time out of your day for this podcast for as long as you have, or if this is your first day. So thank you. I'll be back tomorrow to finish off the week talking about the 87 club. A really fun one, Mr. Kirby Puckett. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day and go Twinks.